Hey everyone, this is Noor and you're listening to the Radical Contemporary Podcast, the summer edition. For the gorgeous summer season, we've partnered up with the G Hotel at Seashell, located on Egypt's north coast. The G Hotel is a brand that fits seamlessly with Radical. While staying at the G, experience generous indulgence with their opulent attention to detail in art, design, music, gastronomy, and holistic living quarters that formulate the essence of the G lifestyle. It's quite simple, really. The G is where the good things are. And for that reason, we'd like to thank them for collaborating with us this summer. So here's what to expect. We'll be bringing you experts in the fields of health, wellness, art, design, music, and more, and having conversations that have the ability to change the way we see the world.
The name represents anyone who doesn't belong to a certain place or who doesn't want to settle down in a certain place, who always wants to travel and explore the world. Those are the characteristics of nomads.
In this episode, I speak to Islam Sharif, the founder of Nomads, a group on Facebook that has become renowned for travelers to review trips, ask for advice, and discuss their adventures with one another. Islam is not only the founder of Nomads, but a rock climber, adventurer, and all-around avid traveler and advocate of tourism in Egypt. We spoke about his travels, some of his favorite places to visit, and what keeps him inspired and motivated to explore the world. Okay, so Islam, take us back a little bit. Ani, I'm assuming you're in Sahel right now, right?
I am.
I'm in Cairo, unfortunately. But I'm coming soon. I wish we could have done this in person, but obviously logistics crazy.
No, it's fine.
So take us back a bit. Where are you from and where did you grow up?
So I'm from Cairo, Egypt. I spent all my life basically in Cairo. I only spent like 3 or 4 years in Prague back when I was super young. I've been raised and born in Cairo.
And so where did you go to college, Ba?
I studied engineering at the Arab Academy for Science and Technology.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I switched major right after I graduated.
What?
To marketing. So as soon as I graduated, I joined Vodafone as an engineer, and I stayed for like 3 or 4 months, and then I decided this is not me. I'm not meant to be an engineer.
Right.
And I immediately switched majors to marketing, focusing on content and digital apps.
Okay.
And this is where my journey started.
Were you traveling a lot as a kid? Or was it kind of like in Cairo? Was it around? Yani, what was your situation?
So back when I was super young, when I lived in Prague, my parents were hardcore travelers. They traveled all over Europe. And when I returned back to Cairo, I did not travel until... I joined college. I traveled locally first, and then I was like, I cannot travel abroad and start seeing the world before I see my own country. And I took like an oath to roam over Egypt, discover everything inside Egypt, beaches, mountains, everything inside. And during my last semester or last year, I had some free time because I took a lot of my curriculum in the summer during the earlier years. So I freed up some time during my last year. And then I started hitting the road every single weekend, going to a new place, discover somewhere exotic. During the winter, I visited all the mountains that we have, the desert.
Interesting.
Camps.
Like where, for example, Rahtafein, where did you start and where did it end this journey?
Well, I started in Sinai, our favorite, our all time favorite. I went to somewhere called El Galt El Azra. It's like a very deep canyon close to Saint Catherine. And I hiked there for like 4 or 5 days, completely isolated in the mountains. And then I returned back.
Wow.
And during this journey, I discovered a lot of things. I learned a lot of things. Yani, I was totally disconnected for 4 days with my group. And I camped. It was my first time to camp all alone in a desert. We drank water from waterfalls. We ate Bedouin food. I
Oh, good
challenged
for you.
my strength to hike all this way.
Huh.
But this is where it changed me. And then this is where I had this thing in mind that I have to see more of Egypt. The Red Sea, Sinai, the whole north coast, starting from Alexandria to Sahel, to Marsa Matruh, to Siwa, also deep south, Luxor, Aswan. I took it all over.
That's amazing, and I love how you chose to explore Egypt before exploring the rest of the world. I've actually heard this before. Like, a few of my friends made a similar pact. They're like, we don't even know our country that is so rich and full of places to go that people would love to visit. But why go out and travel Barra before really learning about Egypt and all of its kind of yani glory, let's say. But so that's where your passion really started, you would say.
Yeah, I'm a strong believer in tourism in this country, to be honest. Yani, we have all what it takes to be on the top list of the most touristic countries in the world. I mean, we have the perfect beaches, we have beautiful mountains, we have perfect weather, we have top diving spots, top kite surfing spots. We have everything. I mean, and plus, I mean, history. Culture.
So, what was the first destination that you would say made you completely fall in love with travel as an as something to do, yani, as a lifestyle, not as just something to do as leisure or every once in a while?
It's actually funny, but it's the airport.
Really? Why?
I love airports and planes in specific. I just love the concept of going to an airport where there are thousands of internationals all combined in one place and taking an airplane going to somewhere around the world. I just love airports. I mean, a lot of people love traveling, but some of them might not love airports and the actual process of flying, but I love it. Yeah, I think airports made me choose. I mean, I always want to be at an airport. I always want to, like, be in the process of checking in, putting my bag, and knowing that I'm going to sit on a chair and I'm going to travel hours away onto a new journey and a new adventure.
I'm pretty much the same in the sense that airports are one of my favorite places in the world. It doesn't matter which one, and I understand that unlike a lot of people, I enjoy the airplane.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, because I mean, if I tell you a specific country, I mean, I've visited some countries that really changed me. But airport is like the gate to just not just a new country. It's a gate to a new journey, a new experience. Might be a bad experience, might be a beautiful experience. It's just the cover of the book is at the airport.
Before we get into that, actually, I want to know, while you started traveling, were you also working at the same time? How did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, to be able to fund traveling a lot, I had to be working and getting money. So, I started traveling a lot when I first started my job and getting paid. And that's when I consumed all my days off in traveling.
And then did you feel at a point you were like, okay, I need more days to travel than to work? And how did you transition out of that?
I mean, you can never have enough from days off and traveling. But I did not really have a big problem in getting education and days off work. I planned it smartly. I planned it early. Thanks to Egypt, we have actually a lot of holidays, Eid, and a lot of long weekends. So it was doable, definitely.
I always love to ask people who travel whether they like to travel alone or in groups, because I think it's a different experience completely, one from the other. And I'm interested to know your thoughts on that.
Actually, this is a very good question, and each one of them has its own experience. So for me, traveling solo is what I love to do. I actually love both, but being consistent in travel, I'd love to be solo, because traveling solo gets you to meet new people, to really engage with the culture and the city you're in. It lets you really discover yourself, go out of your comfort zone, and even do whatever you want. I mean, you're completely alone in the end, and you have the liberty to do whatever you want. So traveling solo is about getting a true experience and a different one. However, if I want to travel just for a normal holiday to have some fun, laugh, connect with friends, then I'd prefer a group travel. So I'd give solo travel 80% of my total travels and 20% for group travels.
That's pretty cool. My first time traveling alone was, I think, last summer, and I think it's great. It's very scary at first, but because you just don't know what to expect, but you learn that.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how you can convince someone to do that if they don't have the inclination to. And I feel like I also got put in a situation where I had to end up being in Germany, in Berlin, for a few days alone. But in the end, I made new friends. I discovered the city. It was actually wonderful. And I would do it again completely. I don't know. I feel like what kind of mindset do you need to be in to travel alone? Not everyone is into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, it's the same for me. When I started traveling alone, I did not really plan it. I was in Bali, actually, and I had like a conference there, and then I just extended afterwards, and I was all alone, and I was right there, and I had to, continue the trip on my own, and this is when I discovered that it was the best decision ever.
Tell us, when did you found nomads? What made you feel we needed a travel community in Egypt? Because I would say the biggest travel community on social media, based from out of Egypt, yani, where people have like conversations, travel suggestions, reviews, feedback, everything. So I want to know, did you kind of consciously feel like we need this group, or you did it out of kind of a love for travel and sharing?
It's somehow funny how I started the group. I started the group back in 2014, and it was just a very small group of my network of active travelers, and the group was there, before even Facebook groups was something, and it was just there, to plan group trips, me and my friends, and share some ideas on where to travel next summer. And it was just very small, until during the process of having this group, researching for future travels, I found a very big problem of finding reliable first-hand experience online. Because if you like jump on Google or go to TripAdvisor and search for anything to do, restaurants to eat, places to go, you'll find thousands of people writing mixed reviews. It's very random, and what you see online is usually very different on what you see in reality.
So you felt like this could turn into something where people can use it as a resource, the group.
Yes, and I felt like, okay, so I have my network of friends on board my group. So what if I expand this group to include all active travelers who are always roaming the world, and you can just ask someone on their experience about any country that I want to go to.
So is it based also in Egypt? Like, is it limited to Egyptians or no?
No, it's not. However, the majority of the group members are Egyptians. I have maybe 5 to 10% of group members are actually foreigners. Close to 20% of the group members are actually Egyptians, but living abroad.
First of all, why did you call it nomads?
Because the name itself represents who those members are. The name represents anyone who doesn't belong to a certain place or who doesn't want to settle down in a certain place, who always wants to travel and explore the world. Those are the characteristics of nomads. You're a nomad, you're always on the go, you're always, you know, in a mountain, on a beach, in a retreat somewhere, living abroad for a while and coming back.
Yeah.
You're not someone who just travels for the summer and comes back, you know?
Yeah. It kind of like embodies the word completely, like the people in the group, and you can see that they're constantly moving around.
Yeah, just like the Arabic word, the Arabic translation for it, al-Rahala.
Ayo, al-Rahala. That's very cool. When did the group thrive into a business and become more than a passion or a way of life? Like, I feel like there is so much to be done with such a huge community. When it grew and grew, when did you feel like, oh, okay, this is something that's turning into something really big?
During the beginning, it was just an information-based platform. And then when it started growing aggressively, I during the earlier days, I had a challenge of why would people come on Nomads and ask for questions when they have Google and they have TripAdvisor. And actually, a lot of members who were new used to come and tell me, okay, so why should we come to Nomads? And then when people tried using it and they found that the information shared was very reliable and they traveled and tried it themselves, they felt great and they started recommending it to their friends, and the group started growing. And then the phase of being just an information platform started changing, and then I started to feel that I needed more. I had to offer more than just information. And then we introduced, you know, the photo competitions that we do to engage people, to inspire people to travel even to places they never knew they were that beautiful or they never had on their plans. And then photo competitions started becoming super popular, and we started sending away people abroad for free. And then our vision even started growing more. To helping people abroad, like when the COVID-19 crisis happened,
right?
There were thousands of Egyptians stranded abroad. So we as a strong community of travelers and expats, Egyptian expats abroad, we felt the responsibility to protect our community. So we worked hand in hand with the Ministry of Emigration to send them information and gather information from them regarding Egyptians stuck abroad. And we managed actually to help a lot of people return back, or even if we could not actually bring them back on a plane to Egypt, we helped them connect with other expats who were living in the country that they were stuck in, to receive any form of support or help they can. And this was actually one of the biggest support initiatives that we took during the past period that actually had a big positive impact on members.
That's great. And I saw that happening on the group. I saw people connecting and supporting one another, especially during that time of isolation, and I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, even beyond this, I mean, the community is still growing more and more. So we're starting to have a positive impact on tourism and on travelers for our members, especially.
Yeah.
And right now, as well, we're working on a campaign with the Ministry of Tourism to promote Egypt as a safe destination in the next couple of months to start boosting tourism again. Since
That's great.
we have a lot of members outside Egypt, and basically each and every member in Nomads is acting as an ambassador to Egypt or even to his own country.
Amazing. So these are like kind of ways in which a group or a community on Facebook can expand outside of being that and actually actively help.
We're taking a break from the conversation to tell you a little bit more about the G Hotel. What we love about the G is that their lifestyle concept is rooted in supporting young musicians, artists, creatives, and pioneers. The G hosts some of Egypt's most creative minds and innovative spirits. For more information on bookings, cuisine, performances, and activities going on at the G this summer, such as meditation workshops and possibly a live recording of our very own podcast, visit www.thegseashell.com or at the G Seashell on Instagram. And now back to my conversation with Islam Sharif, the founder of Nomads.
I want to know, so what was an unforgettable travel experience for you, or a country you'd recommend everyone visit? I mean, I know this is a cliche question, but I think it's one that people would want to know from you.
I would actually pick Cape Town as one of my favorite cities, and a city that I really loved, and it changed a lot of things and ideas that I had on what a perfect city would look like. Actually, I mean, Cape Town is famous for its beautiful ocean activities. I mean, it has something for everyone. If you want to go relax, if you want to go for an adventure, if you want to go for business, for whatever, it has something for everyone. So I was really surprised that Cape Town offered this. So it was one of my best trips. Also, which is really cliche, but it was still one of my life-changing experiences, was Bali in Indonesia. I know almost half Egyptians went to Bali, whether it was for honeymoon or just for, you know, going for yoga or whatever. What I really love about this island is that it's so I wouldn't say raw. It used to be raw, but now it's very commercial. But I love that it has like one of the biggest travel communities in the world. And by travel communities, I mean it's full of backpackers, solo travelers, people going for surfing, people going for yoga, for meditation, to explore, to learn. It's a hub. I feel it's a strong hub for travelers. And when I was there, I met a lot of inspiring people who had a positive impact on the way I see travel and on the way I even travel right now. Because I went there back in, I think it was the first time I went there, it was like in 2014. Back then, it wasn't really still that popular, you know, and it was only famous for like honeymoon trips. But when I went there solo, it was one of the main reasons that I learned that I need to travel solo more often. I met people for a couple of hours who really changed me, and it was super interesting for me and surprising for someone to leave a positive impact on you, and you only saw him for a couple of hours and you've never seen him again.
That's actually really interesting. And was it because of like you were open to having conversations or receiving conversations that you wouldn't usually because you were alone? Was it the impact of the people or the place or a mix of both?
Definitely the fact that I was alone is the main reason, because if I wasn't alone, I wouldn't have met a lot of, you know, new people. And the fact that I when I was there, I had zero plans. I did not plan what I was going to do, you know, the next hour. I just
really
left it to whatever comes, I'll do it. And I was staying in a hostel that was originally a temple, and they have converted the temple into a hostel. And I just met a lot of people there, and whatever someone was doing, you know, someone was going to visit a waterfall, or someone was going hiking, or something like this, I just joined. However the day took me, I just went through with it. I had really interesting conversations with people from all over the world, with different cultures, different religion, different mindsets. People did a lot of gestures to me that was really surprising. People giving me food that people that I never met and I even don't know, gave me food, offered me free rides, gave me tips on what to do, showing me around. It was beautiful.
That sounds amazing, and you really have inspired me to kind of run off and travel alone.
You definitely should.
That's really cool. You've said a lot about the benefits of traveling alone, but when you do travel in groups, so who are some of your favorite people, or who's your favorite person to travel with?
The typical. I super enjoy traveling with my friends from college when we go anywhere, just, you know, trying different things. But the thing is that my close friends are somehow, we share the same minds, the same we love the same things, you know.
Okay.
So when we go somewhere, we want to do the same things, try out new stuff. And it's because when my idea of travel, I never want to go somewhere and just, you know, relax and go eat somewhere and do some sightseeing.
Okay,
I always
so
want to.
What do you do then?
Either do something that is super adventurous, go hiking in a mountain, visiting a local tribe, trying an extreme sport, you know, doing action all day. And it's hard to find someone who can cope with you to try out a lot of new stuff and to hike mountains, go to rivers, do this, do that. Thankfully, my friends are sharing the same passion. And it's always good to do exciting stuff with people you love. And you always come out with extraordinary moments and things to remember.
So I want to hop into something kind of, I guess, that stemmed out of this whole, your need for adventure and your love of it. Rock climbing. So I want to know, why did you feel that rock climbing, how did you get into rock climbing?
Back in, I think it was 2012. So I've always had this passion for extreme sports. Wherever there was adrenaline, I was there. I mean, I started kitesurfing and windsurfing back in 2008, I think, or 2009. And then I was enrolled in a skydiving school when I was 16. In Egypt, actually, it was something called static line jumps.
Okay.
And it's the classic old way of jumping out of a plane.
Okay.
Because that's what's permitted in Egypt right now. I saw rock climbing in a movie or a documentary, as far as I remember, and I was like, I really need to do this. I'm confident I'd love such a sport. And so I jumped online and I looked for an adventure travel agency that can guide me into rock climbing and how to learn and where to go. And I was connected with one of them, and they sent me away to a small island in Thailand. And this island actually is like the Mecca of rock climbing in Asia. I went there for like 10 to 12 days. All I did was rock climbing, and I was hooked. I loved it. I came back to Egypt. I started looking everywhere for rock climbing until I connected with some Bedouins in Dahab, Sinai.
So you didn't actually start in Egypt. You went and you kind of like explored the sport somewhere else, and then you came back and you're like, okay, so this could work here, because there's a community of rock climbers from Al Sabah. I feel like it's something that turned into a trend and then picked up a lot over the past 2 years.
Yes, that's true. I started abroad, and when I came back, I used to climb with the Bedouins all alone during the beginning until many friends started to tag along. And after like 2 or 3 years, I thought, you know, I should introduce this sport and spread awareness on this sport. And back in 2015, Gold Gym decided to open an indoor rock climbing facility.
And yeah, I've been there actually. Like, and I mean, 2 years ago, I would go very often, and it's a great way to exercise and like get a high, and it feels so good when you rock climb for an hour or two. Honestly, I was hooked for quite a while, but it's a big workout, Yanni. It's not easy.
It is. It requires actually strength, and it requires flexibility, and it's also a state of mind. I mean, it has a lot of, you know, thinking and focus that you need to do. But it's a perfect way, you know, to unwind and just get away from our busy life and doing something that has a bit of adrenaline and persistence. So it's really fun to like have it as a workout, you know, just like you hit the gym or you do yoga or stuff. You just go for bouldering or rock climbing for like an hour every day or something.
Exactly. So you went to Gold's Gym and you kind of did it there for a bit as well?
No, actually, I went there to check out the wall, and I spoke to them about, you know, managing the rock climbing wall for them and start building a proper climbing community. And they were very flexible, and they were like, "Yes, we're excited for this." And me and my partner Ram, we decided to, you know, instead of like climbing in Sinai only and having to send groups like 6 hours away, we can even start it in Cairo and do both indoor and outdoor. And we started slowly working on building up a community of climbers and spreading awareness on what is rock climbing and how can you learn this sport. And it took us a while, and during the beginning especially, because people did not really understand finger lock.
Top cool. So finger lock, I think it was, it was 2 years ago or a year and a half ago actually, and it really picked up. And so you rock climb at Gold's Gym, and then you also rock climb, you take groups out into the mountains, right? That's what I understand.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how do you regulate, but like who's able to come and rock climb and who isn't, and who can move on to the next higher level, tougher level, whatever it is?
We because the sport is new, so during the past couple of years, everyone was just a beginner. Everyone. I mean, it was so rare that we got someone who knows how to rock climb. And it was usually foreigners or expats who were living in Egypt, but all Egyptians were mostly beginners. So we had courses to convert them into beginner to intermediate rock climbers, and then later on people would come and actually train. And because rock climbing as a sport is not designed to, you know, like have a course and then boom, you're a rock climber. No, it's just we teach you the basics of safety, how to use the gear, the equipment, how to climb properly, the techniques and stuff. And then it's up to you to practice, and it's all about practice and difficulty levels to solve and climb.
Right, so it's like basically it's not like a sport where you can learn the craft, you need to just practically keep doing it.
No, you always learn, and you always have a challenge that you need to overcome. We built a community from ground zero, and we spread awareness on the sport. And now a lot of people either tried rock climbing indoors at Finger Lock, or they just go to the hub either with us or without us. And they start climbing there. And one of the good things that I'm happy with is that we did not only create a climbing community, we also helped the Bedouins in Dahab, you know, giving back to them. We brought a lot of people. We made a lot of awareness on the sport even in the hub. So now it started converting into an ongoing business that they can live off, and we contributed a lot to the development of the sport there, and hence developing people there, and you know, introducing support, jobs, money, you know. And we're still trying to do this, and we're still trying to bring in more and more of people and work closely with them, you know, to help people there. But, you know, we kind of stopped at the time being because of the pandemic, but hopefully soon enough we can jump back again.
That's pretty extraordinary. That's great, honestly. And I think you're right. It's another form of community and another untapped kind of niche that you went into and that's been thriving. And I know for a fact, like a lot of my friends, they so enjoy going to Fingerlock Gold's Gym, and it's a great workout out, yani outing, whatever it is, you know what I mean? It's both actually, but that's amazing. So I want to ask you a question. So how has building one of the biggest travel communities in Egypt and maybe in the region, like, really impacted your life? Yani, I feel like this is something that could change the course of what you're doing. Like, is this what you're doing full time now? How did it shift your focus?
It's definitely, it's one hell of an experience. I mean, one hell of a journey. I've learned a lot during the past couple of years bringing up this travel community and platform. It used a lot of my time, taught me a lot of things. I've built a wide network of connections. I met a lot of new friends. I met a lot of new people. What I love the most about it is driving impact to a lot of people, whatever this impact was, whether it was support, help, or even just a piece of information. It definitely shifted my priorities 6 years back when I was just, you know, a corporate employee. Now I'm thinking differently than what I used to think, and I'm not doing it full-time right now. I have a full-time job, but hopefully very, very soon I'd be able to focus on it 100% when I'm confident that I can sustain this and grow it even more. And I'm working really hard at the time being to have the right balance of giving to my corporate job and giving to Nomads. And recently I've joined an accelerator program that is designed by Facebook. They're coaching us and preparing us, you know, convert communities into a full-time business that can be independent and on its own.
That's interesting, because I feel like a lot of people are curious about how you can make use of a community as a full-time business, actually.
If you have the proper vision, the proper business model, and you're offering something that people actually need, then you can easily convert an online community into, you know, a growing business.
In your opinion, how important is it to travel?
For me or for anyone?
For anyone.
I think it's super important. Traveling is not just, you know, for if you're not a full-time traveler, traveling is something essential that you need for many reasons. You need it as a break. You need it as a normal holiday to see new places. And you even need it for experience, for life experiences. I mean, seeing new people, new cultures, new cities, seeing what's happening outside of your small circle. And by small circle, it can be your city or even your country, will definitely add a lot to your knowledge and to your experience and on the way you see things in general. So traveling definitely is a learning experience, whatever the type of travel you do, whether it was business, leisure, whatever it was, it's definitely a learning experience.
I agree with you. I think it broadens your horizons completely. And I know a lot of people have a fear of traveling alone or have a fear of traveling to faraway places that you don't know. But I think all of that goes away when you get there, honestly.
I mean, as cliche as it sounds, but life starts at the end of your comfort zone.
For sure. And as someone who enjoys extreme sports and rock climbing and things like that, how do you get over your fears? Like, what is something, or like, how do you approach them?
Face to face. I mean, I don't think when there's something that I really want to do and I have a fear of doing it, I just, you know, dive in.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, happens. And it turns out that it's just, you know, I don't know how to say it, but you can call it fake fear.
Okay. How so?
So you have fear of let's take traveling alone as an example. You have fear that you travel alone and you might not meet anyone. You'll get bored. You'll know, you won't know what to do or where to go. And then when you actually go and do things, you'll discover that all the thoughts in your head were just false thoughts or fake thoughts. And the reality is something very different. Whatever you're fearing, most of the times when you actually try new things, you will discover that your fears were sending you different messages or preventing you from something that you were actually missing out on.
So who's someone you consider a mentor? Someone you look up to and whose advice you take?
I think it would be my father, actually.
Okay, that's great.
So yeah, I mean, because my father works in the tourism as well industry. Okay. And putting aside the advices he gives me, I just, you know, seeing him work hard and the way he works and the way he treats people and the way he's doing his job is a big portion of how of what is inspiring me on how to do things and how to drive change. And seeing him, you know, many years ahead of me, and seeing when you plant a seed, the fruit that comes out in the end, I'm seeing the results he's doing, and this is what's driving me to plant my own seed and seeing the fruit that I'm going to have in the future.
That's a really cool way to look at it, honestly, in terms of perspective. Okay, so my last question for you is, what's next for you? What's next for Islam?
Nomads is definitely what's next. Nomads in a bigger form. I mean, very soon I'm seeing myself, you know, dedicated to turning Nomads into something that is going to change the travel industry in Egypt and hopefully in the region and then the world sometime in the next couple of years. Nomads being an integral and essential part of every traveler who's getting outside of Egypt as a first step. And one of the main tourism arms that would, you know, impact the country and the world, hopefully sooner or later.
Thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe, give us a review, shoot me a text, or direct message us on Instagram at Radical Contemporary, where we'd love to hear your feedback and the topics you'd like to listen to. Also, you can check out our website, www.radicalcontemporary.com, where all of our content is available. Finally, we'll be hosting a new guest every week, so stay tuned.